Thomas got a bum rap, didn't he? We've always called him Doubting Thomas because of that one incident. And yet, it is believed that Thomas took the gospel to India and was martyred there because of his witness. In fact, many of my friends from India, I had a very dear family we were close to. They have moved out of the state. They were from Madras, and the whole idea of Thomas coming there and devoting his life to spreading the gospel. And yet, every time we think of this passage that Martha read, Doubting Thomas. And I always say, poor Thomas. But I want to ask you a question this morning. Have you ever looked like that? Full of fear? Full of worry? Have you ever been fearful about something in your life? Fearing that something's going to happen. Didn't happen yet, but you're just waiting for that other shoe to drop. It hasn't happened. It may never happen. But that's how we look. We're frightened. I think all of us, if we're honest, we have been there one time or the other. Where we have been fearful about something that hasn't happened yet, but we're fearful that it's just around the corner. And so our scripture from John's gospel that Barbara just read says that Jesus discovered most of his disciples in a state of fear, hiding behind locked doors of the upper room. And I've said this during Holy Week. I may have mentioned it last week, and I'll say it again. I really don't blame the disciples in many ways for that human response. You just saw your rabbi, your leader, nailed to a cross, died, buried. You're not sure about the resurrection yet. And you're afraid that if the authorities find you, you too will wind up on a cross leading into the city gates of Jerusalem. And that's where Jesus finds them. And I believe there's all kinds of fear in society today. We fear wars, we fear a financial crunch, we fear a disease, an illness, a sickness. Where some people I've talked to are even afraid of death. They're afraid that what's going to happen when I die? I want to assure you that if Christ is your Savior, you have nothing to worry about. You believe that? Amen. I hope you do. I heard one person say, I read this, I fear one day I'm going to meet God and he'll sneeze and I won't know what to say. God bless you. took a couple of you a while to catch that, but that's okay. You know, there's an author I love. My wife and I drove out to Chicago one day just to hear John Ortberg speak at the church there in Chicago. And he's written so many great books, but this was a book that I cherished. If you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. And I want to read an excerpt from this book where he talks about fear. He says the single command in Scripture that occurs more often than any other, the single most important command that's mentioned more times than anything else, God most frequently repeated instruction is formulated in just two words, fear not. Don't be afraid. Trust in me. Fear not. That word fear not is mentioned more times than any other place in the Bible. And he goes on to write, so why does God tell human beings to stop being afraid more often than he tells them anything else? My hunch is that the reason God says fear not so much is not that he wants us to be spared emotional discomfort. In fact, usually he says it to people to do something that's going to lead them into greater fear anyway. He tells them, fear not, but go into the world, and the world may not be friendly. I think God says fear not so often because fear is the number one reason human beings are tempted to avoid doing what God asks for them to do. That's a great quote right there. We're so afraid, and we don't respond to it because God may be calling us to something that we're afraid to do for him. And I think the disciples found themselves in that position. You see, Jesus discovered his disciples huddled together behind closed doors, locked doors, bolted doors, in fear. So I looked up that word fear in the New Testament Greek, and it's phobos, from which we get the word phobia. And it means to be alarmed, frightened, to be placed in a position of fear that inhibits action. In other words, we're paralyzed and we're frozen to move forward because we're so afraid of what might happen in our lives. I loved Deuteronomy. It says, "The Lord your God who goes with you, he will not fail you or forsake you." Maybe someone this morning in this church needs to hear that. The Lord your God who goes with you, he will not fail you or forsake you. Maybe there's someone here this morning that needs to hear that, because you're entering something that's uncertain, it's frightening, and it could be paralyzing to your life. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Okay? And I'm sure many of you have as well. You're going through a trying situation, and you don't know what the future holds. Fear not. This is what is said more times in the Bible than any place else. God loves us, and he wants to bless us, and he has a way to get us through our fear and get us through our circumstances. He repeatedly in his word tells us that we can live victoriously and strong in spite of the challenges that we face in our lives. Do you believe that? I don't know. I mean, sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. But we need to be reminded of this regularly. He has promised never to leave us nor forsake us, as Deuteronomy says. No matter what we're going through, he will walk with us, not behind us, not ahead of us, with us. That's what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit comes alongside of us as we go through life's challenges. So Jesus tells his disciples, "Peace be with you. Fear not." And then he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." I hope you believe in the Holy Spirit. I hope you believe that there is a Holy Spirit. I hope you believe that when Jesus said, "I'm leaving you, but I'm not going to abandon you or leave you alone. I'm going to send another," and another is the third part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. The confirmation class, we studied that, the Trinity. And if I asked Lynn up there to tell me what the Trinity is, she could do that. But don't do it now, Lynn. The Holy Spirit is also known as a comforter. And I don't know about you, but many times I had situations in my life where I needed to be comforted. I needed to be comforted because I was going through a trial. Maybe nobody else knew about it. Maybe I kept my game face going when everybody saw me. "How you doing?" I'm doing fine. But really inside, I was a broken man. Have you ever been there? We put up the good front. But the Holy Spirit is known as the comforter. He'll comfort us in our times and our moments of uncertainty and fear, when circumstances are so heavy that we just wonder, how long could I carry this? How long could I continue this? And so in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of power and love and of calm and a well-balanced or a sound mind and discipline and self-control." God did not give us a spirit of fear. God has given us a calm, a well-balanced, a sound mind, a disciplined life that is self-controlled. And we need to be reminded of that. It's so important that when we find ourselves, friends, in a place of fear, we need to get into the Word of God. And I will tell you, many Christians, that's a place they don't go. They go everywhere but the Word of God. And the Lord is telling us, get into the Word of God, read the scriptures of affirmation that speaks to the whole idea that when we're facing fear and uncertainty and challenges in life, there are words in scripture. I'll tell you where I run often when I'm fearful and I'm uncomfortable and a lot of junk is going on in my life. I start reading the Psalms. You know why? Because even David doubted, but always in the end, he says, I know you're with me, Lord. We're going to get through this together. And the Psalms just calm me down. And I run to the Psalms oftentimes. Jesus tells his disciples to seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. You see, if we seek the Lord in the times of trouble, he'll be there. If we knock on his door, he'll open that door. I promise you that. But you got to seek him first. You got to run to the Lord. James chapter 2, verse 2 states that we don't receive because we don't ask. How can we expect God to come into our lives when we're going through a troubled time if we don't ask him to come, if we don't invite him to come into that moment that we're going through? Instead of fearing a situation, say, Lord, I'm going through something right now. I can't handle it. I need your help. I need your wisdom. I need your peace. I need your grace. I need your strength to get me through this situation. I can't do it. I've tried, but it's not working. The easy way is to cut and run, to avoid it at all costs. I call it the ostrich phenomenon. Just bury your head in the ground, make believe it's not there. But it's there. I shared with you once, my Christina's sister, when she was growing up, I told you this, she used to stick her head under the pillow with her body sticking up in the air, but she thought I couldn't see her because she had her head hidden. And sometimes we do that in our faith. We bury our heads in the ground and we make believe it's not there, but it's there. That situation is there. And we need to call on God to help us to get through our fears. The renowned author Mark Twain, he wrote this, and I found this quote this week when I was looking up famous quotes on the internet. He said, courage is resistance to fear, mastery of fear, not the absence of fear. See, the fear is there. You got to acknowledge it. You can't make believe it's not real, but courage is to resist it. And I would add to that, resist it with the Lord's help. Fight that fear that's in your life with the help of God. Almost always our fear, listen to this, and I always find this on the back side of my fear. Oftentimes, fear is far worse than the very thing we fear. The very thing we're fearing is not as bad as the fear that we're fearing about the very thing that we're fearing. Now, if you could figure that one out, I'll give you a gold medal. When we face our fears with God's help, we will be amazed how we could verse and navigate through that valley to get us on the other side. James 5:16 says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. He's telling us we could speak into that fear with prayer. We could speak to that fear. Just like Jesus said, speak to that mountain and faith, and you could move that mountain in your life. Over and over in Scripture, we witness God's people surrounded by what appears to be overwhelming and insurmountable circumstances. And over again, we see God deliver them. You know, just in that hymn we just sang, it talked about the Exodus and Moses and how he was able to be fearless in the face of Pharaoh and his army coming down upon him. And yet he was able, through the help of God, to get through that Red Sea to the other side. Because you see, oftentimes we become fearful and dismayed because of constantly focusing on the state of our circumstances. That's all we think about all day, is this thing that we're worried about. We stay focused on it. The more we focus and concentrate on our circumstances, the more fear and uncertainty will come over our lives. I've found that to be true. If we keep focusing on it, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. Will I lose my job? What's going to happen with the doctors? Oh, can I pay the mortgage? Or, you know, and we just constantly focus on that problem and that circumstance. Instead, we should focus our attention on God and begin staring, rather than our circumstances, begin staring at the Word of God. Get into the Psalms and hear what David has to say and the other worship leaders that wrote those beautiful Hebraic poetic writings. God is big enough to handle anything we could ever face in life. Do you believe that? Okay, I got an amen from my wife. I'll take you out to lunch later. God is big enough to handle any circumstance we could face in life. Amen. Amen. Remember, God is never, He's never said, don't be afraid. That would be stupid. We're always going to have things to be afraid of. He's just saying that we should never allow fear to overwhelm us and control us. And there's a difference. I love this passage from Isaiah. He writes, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you." Now, this is God saying this. Isaiah's just writing it down. "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've summoned you by name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God." Hey, if you've ever felt like the rivers of life were overwhelming you and ready to drown you, if you feel like the fires of life surround you and you feel like you're going to burn up from all of what's happening in your life, he tells you, "Fear not, for I am the Lord your God. You are mine." Wow. God is reminding us this morning, friends, when we go through trials in this life, when it appears that we're drowning in our circumstances, when it appears our circumstances are like an all-consuming fire, don't be afraid. God will see us through. You will not be overwhelmed. I thank God for that. Someone once said, faith is the only solution to fear. Faith is the only solution to fear. In other words, faith must be released into our fears. Our faith is bigger than our fears. And you know who I get reminded of that every day? I get reminded of that by my wife. When I start complaining, she'll say, stop. Stop what? Stop complaining. God's bigger than this. All right, honey. Just talking now. It's the truth. Yeah. And then Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, one of my favorite passages, "Do not be anxious about any, don't fear, but come to him with prayers and petition with thanksgiving." He says, make your requests known to him. And he says, he'll give you a peace that the world can't give you. He'll guard your troubled heart and your troubled mind. When you pray to God and you give him what's troubling you, listen, I'm not making light of stress. I know people in this congregation right now who have family members that are seriously ill. I know people that are walking through illnesses themselves. I know people that are struggling financially. I know people that have family matters, relationships that are broken and so forth. I'm not making light of that. I'm not just saying a magic wand and it all goes away. I'm not saying that. But give it to God. Make that petition known. Begin to thank him for all that he's already done in your life, in spite of these circumstances. And the scripture says he'll give you peace that the world can't give you. He'll help your troubled mind and your troubled heart. I believe that with all my heart because it's worked for me. Otherwise, I wouldn't even preach it. If I didn't believe this, I wouldn't be saying it from this pulpit. I promise you that. God is fully aware of our challenges that we're facing in our lives. And that is why he stands in partnership with us. That no matter what, he will walk with us, as the scripture says. And then last week I showed you this scripture in my sermon. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. I know it looks bad, but don't lean on that. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So right now, our path looks so crooked that I don't see how I'm going to navigate this. And this word says, he'll make it straight. We got this together, God is saying. Run to God immediately and give it all to him first. Don't run to everybody else. Don't run to your friends, your outlaws, your in-laws, and everybody else. Run to God first. Acknowledge him right away. So back to the upper room, what Barbara read from John's Gospel, chapter 20. Jesus discovers his disciples fearful, paralyzed from acting. And he says, take my peace and my Holy Spirit. And you know what the beautiful thing is? Even Thomas did. And as I shared earlier, Thomas grabbed that Holy Spirit and he ran and spread the good news to the people of India. And who else? Who knows where else? You see, they went from doubters to doers. They went from fearful to fearless. They went from paralyzed to powerful. They went from cowering individuals to more than a conqueror. They were victims, but now they are victorious. Wow. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. Can you tell? I'm excited. I believe this. I know, but I got it. But the preacher's got to believe it, that it's real, that it's the truth. And I believe this with all my heart. And as Bob so rightly said, I'm not the only one. Trust me. That doesn't mean I don't forget this sometimes. I do. But when I start to remember the truth of the scriptures, that's where my fear starts to dissipate and the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, takes over my life. So I want to close with a little story. There was a little boy who was afraid of the dark. His dad asked him to go back to the unlit porch to retrieve a broom. His father knew that his son was afraid of the dark, so he said to his son, son, don't be afraid. Jesus is out there. So the little boy went out to the back of the house. He opened the door. He stuck his hand out and he said, Jesus, could you pass me the broom? And much like that little boy, much of what we fear is not real. You know, one study showed that 92% of the things we fear never happen. This is a clinical study. 92% of the things that we fear in our lives never comes to pass. Wow. And so remember this acronym, FEAR, false evidence appearing real. 8% is real. 92% is not. Now, whether our fears are based on real or false evidence, we know that in faith we could give them all over to the Lord because we can't carry it by ourselves. Faith overcomes fear, friends. The question is, do you believe it? That your faith is bigger than your fear. And that we could do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so, Lord God, I pray this morning for these dear brothers and sisters of mine in this church today. I know that there are folks here that are going through some serious stuff. And Lord God, I don't make light of it, neither do they. I pray that you would give us the faith that no matter what we're facing, no matter how many challenges are there, that with you we could do all things. Be with us, walk with us as your word says, and get us through these times. And may we never forget to fear not, that with the Holy Spirit we could have that peace and we could have that victory. In Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen. Amen.